The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Have you ever found yourself in a difficult season and cry out, God, where are you?
Can you imagine the guy coming to Colorado? He's got a snowboard. He's got all his equipment. He's got his gear, his gloves, his goggles, right? He jumps on the chairlift. He goes up to the top. He's so excited. He gets off the chairlift and he falls flat on his face. Why? It's summer. There's no snow on the ground, okay? So what happened? He did the right behavior in the wrong season, right?
Best-selling author John Bevere, next.
I tell you what, welcome to all of you. It's like, listen to me, we're in the presence of the Lord. John got on a roll here with this, God, where are you? This is about finding strength and purpose in your wilderness. And point it out. Now think about this. God, you know, he led them out of Egyptian bondage. So he led them out of Egypt, but he led them into the wilderness to get Egypt out of them, because with Egypt in them, they couldn't live in the promised land that was so blessed of God with such freedom and potential fruitfulness that if they didn't know the God of all gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, not a Pharaoh, the living God that he wanted them to even have fellowship with, he had to get all these systems out so that they could go in and with all those blessings, not allow those blessings of God become idols to compete with all the other idols that they had never gotten out. And so he led them in to the wilderness to get Egypt out so he could lead them in. And John, you make it clear that all of us go through those wilderness experiences. It isn't like it's one time, but it's throughout our life. And then you point out so vividly that when Jesus has just been announced by the voice from God, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and then Jesus goes out in the power of the Holy Spirit, which descended on him, and they could see it in the expression, even with the dove, the symbol. There he was, full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the, where?
The wilderness.
To be tempted of the devil, for heaven's sake.
For 40 days.
And that's right. And you ended yesterday that you said you were watching things happen that were miraculous, New Testament miraculous, right?
Well, I mean, I'm in church. I'm a young Christian, and it's one of the most well-known churches in America. And I'm the pastor's executive assistant, and I'm literally watching guys come in with red and white canes. They're coming in blind and walking out seeing. I'm watching ambulances pull up to our church door, wheel in front of 4,000 people, a guy that's got less than 24 hours left to live, and he pushes his gurney out. He's healed so quickly, powerfully. I'm watching people get out of wheelchairs. Jesus appeared in one of our services with two angels beside him, left an imprint of his face on the wall. It looked like the Shroud of Turin that was there for 18 months and gradually phased out. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, this is normal Christianity. And I'm thinking, okay, this is church, normal church. But yet, I'm the guy taking care of the guest speakers. And the behavior that was going on in my vehicle as we were driving to the church or to the restaurant, I'm like, what? And then I'd watch these guys get on the platform and people get out of wheelchairs. And many of these guys are not even ministry today. But in the midst of all this confusion that's going on with me as a baby Christian, because my heart's going, this isn't right. My head's going, shut up. Look what's happening on this platform. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of this, God speaks to me one day and he said, son, I've given my church a thimble full of my power to see how she would handle it. See if she'll market it, make money off of it, draw attention to herself with it. He said, and she's not handled it well. So I'm going to bring my church into the wilderness. And he said, just as Jesus went into the wilderness filled with the Spirit, but he returned in the power thereof, he said, when my church comes out of the wilderness, she will operate in a level of power like this earth has never seen before. The body, not just individuals, the body. And what I realized last year, I got my team leaders around the table and I said, guys, in my spirit, I feel like we're coming to the close of this wilderness. Well, the thing is, the greatest attack against our harvest comes just before we come out of the wilderness. If you look at David, he's in the desert for 14 years, but it's at the very end when his wives get kidnapped, right? The Amalekites steal everything of value, and they come back, and now the last 600 men on the earth that believed in David now want to kill him. They want to stone him. And that was his point to quit. That was his point to give up, but he didn't. He continued. And so what happened was, a couple days later, he became king of Hebron and then eventually king of all of Israel. Well, if you look at Jesus, he's being tempted 40 days by the devil, but it's at the very, very end when the notable temptations, the three big ones, are recorded. So it's always at the very end of the wilderness season that the greatest temptation comes for us to give up. And I felt like the Lord was just putting this overwhelming burden on my heart for the body, for everyone watching us right now, for all the church in America, around the world, that we are at that point. The Bible says there's a purpose for every season. So the purpose of this season is to prepare us to walk in that power so that we don't do what was happening back in the early 80s and in the 70s and 60s and some of the tragedies that we had going on, because men didn't and women didn't know how to handle his power correctly because that character hadn't been worked in them. So we wrote this book to strengthen men and women so that they don't quit, they don't give up, because that's the greatest temptation in the wilderness, is to give up. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes...
By the way, this is that Joshua and Caleb did it right.
Yeah.
They couldn't even see these giants as anything but insignificant.
Correct.
Whereas the others and the people in Israel that were now in the wilderness, they're seeing all themselves as grasshoppers and everything's bigger. They couldn't see that God can flatten the walls of Jericho and you never really lift a hand except to praise God and obey God. They couldn't see it, but a couple of guys saw it. So the ones that didn't believe and didn't receive, the ones that believed the good report, they went in, right?
Yep.
So if the church will hear the good report today, if we'll listen to what God can do with the body of Christ yielded to the one head,
yep,
receiving his wisdom through apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, not those who say that's what they are, you recognize the gifts of God, you recognize the anointing of God, you receive the one head through that voice. That person is not the head, that person is not the river, a tributary feeding the stream of God's wisdom, and you've got to hear him, you've got to have discernment. You don't even need any man to teach you, you have the Holy Spirit to teach you, but one way he teaches you is he raises up people who are saying what the head says. They're in agreement with him, so you receive them. Then the body gets healthy.
Yes.
The body suddenly becomes not the hidden light, but the city set on the hill that can illuminate the way out of darkness, and people can see the blessings revealed through the body of Christ.
So you
Does
said,
that sound like this?
Yes.
What you're
you
trying
said
to do?
Israel didn't know God. The whole reason God brought them out of Egypt, he said in Exodus 19, I brought you out of Egypt to bring you to myself.
Right.
He wanted to reveal himself to them, but they were just interested in his blessings. Okay? They weren't interested in the promiser. They were interested in the promises.
Sure.
That's the way we were in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I remember all we were taught were the promises. Seek God to get.
Wow.
But now we have a whole body. If you look at this...
By the way, one of the greatest things Robert Morris has said, you agree he's got a pretty great church?
Robert's one of my friends.
He says, my people don't get it about getting. My people get it about giving.
Yes.
That's what love
yes.
does.
Yes,
love
yes,
gives.
Yes. But if you look at Moses, he's pastoring a 3 million member church. Church, right? Only two adults in his entire congregation fulfill their destiny. Okay? But now let's fast forward to the children that grew up in the desert. Okay? Only one of them didn't fulfill their destiny. His name was Achan. All the rest
wow.
of them fulfilled it. This is what we're coming
That's
to,
it.
James.
Yep.
We're talking about moms out there. We're talking about businessmen.
Yep.
We're talking about businesswomen. We're talking about people in healthcare, in government. Daniel saw us, and he said, the people who know their God, he saw the last day's army, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great, not just exploits, great exploits. So the people in the marketplace, the people in healthcare, in education, in professional athletics, in government, they're going to be carrying out such great exploits, not just miraculous healings. I'm talking about miraculous inventions, ideas, and things that the world is going to go, who? I mean, look at Daniel. All of Babylon is like, wait a minute. We've been taught by the finest teachers in the whole world. Who are these guys that are coming up with all these... That's the way it's going to start
yeah,
happening.
I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I'm going crazy.
We're feeding off each other.
The gifted of God. Listen, what if Gates and Buffett and Bezos and Cook and all these different people, Zuckerberg, all the ones that had these gifted by God to create and do things. Did you know I talked to Sam Walton not too long before he died? I'm praying with the man, okay? Yep. And I said, Sam, tell me about this place, this Walmart. I saw your picture in about the first 100 stores. I said, what about this guy? He said, James, I said, I'm going to make it possible for people to shop and find anything they want, no matter how much money they have. And I'm going to make people who work for me feel like they're a part of the whole thing. They're going to be associates and all of that. And he said, we're not concerned about ourselves, but there are opportunities. I said, Sam, that's a servant heart. You may not know this, but that's the servant heart which God says is greatest. What if all these people gifted by God started saying, I did these things to bless and help people, but I want to everybody to know who gave me the ability. I want them to know it's God.
Right.
And I want them to do it.
Right.
I'm doing it because I love you.
Right.
Not just because I want to make money. I want to bless you. You're going to be blessed when you bless others. But wouldn't it be great if we got excited like that? Am I crazy to think that all these great actors and actresses could suddenly realize God gave them the ability to perform, that they might magnify
because
the
I'm
Lord?
I'm fed up with the young generation looking up to these guys that get all this wealth and fame and use it just for themselves.
And care
I
nothing
want
about
them to look up to people who are very successful because God has given them brilliant ideas and power and all of this, and yet they are saying, I'm doing it because I'm serving the body.
Yeah,
I'm serving God's kids, which is what people are. God loves people. He's into people. When we have that heart to bless humanity, like you guys do, feeding the children in Africa, helping people the way you do, Lisa and I, and all these other leaders that you help and you pour into, that's when the whole body begins to start acting mature like that. Because immature kids are me, me, me. Everything is me, me, me. In the 80s, we were me, me, me. We were an I generation. It was all about me. But now we finally have people with character because we've gone through this desert. And what I don't want to see them do is I don't want to see them behave incorrectly towards the end of this season. You know, if you look at Colorado, everybody wants to come to Colorado. We know Colorado well. Can you imagine the guy coming to Colorado? He's got a snowboard. He's got all his equipment. He's got his gear, his gloves, his goggles, right? He jumps on the chairlift. He goes up to the top. He's so excited. He gets off the chairlift and he falls flat on his face. Why? It's summer. There's no snow on the ground, okay? So what happened? He did the wrong behavior in the wrong season. He did the right behavior in the wrong season, right? So what he should have had is a mountain bike. And then he would have gotten down the mountain. But if he would have done that in January, he would have gotten down the mountain. So when we don't understand, it says in 1 Chronicles, it says the children of, or the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And I believe what God showed me about this message
is
God says, this is giving my children the understanding of the times so they know what to do. Because there is a correct behavior in the desert. The children of Israel are only supposed to be there for a year. But because of incorrect behavior, they're there for 40 years. Mm. You can't shorten your wilderness, but you sure can lengthen it. And they did that. Mm. And so my desire is not to see one human being live a day longer in the desert than intended, because an extra day in the desert is a delay on Jesus coming back. The Bible says hastening the coming of the Lord. It's our responsibility to speed up His coming.
But we need to speed up the coming of His glory on the church.
Yes, but that's...
He's coming in glory, but I want His glory to come on the church.
He's coming for a church.
He's coming for a church adorned in His glory.
I believe that with all my heart.
The church to suit up in His glory.
Right.
That's what He's doing in the wilderness. He's getting us dressed up in glory so we can reveal His glory to a world in darkness and lead them out of the desert of defeat and get them delivered.
Can I just have one word to say? Amen. Everything. I've just been so blessed sitting here listening to y'all just speak the truth of God and His Word. And the one thing that has really stuck with me is when you talked about being in the wilderness. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
And I've been in enough wilderness in my life that I know that's true.
Yes. Yes.
He's right there in the midst of anything that we, everything we
go
through.
You know, Job said, I go forward, but He's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. But He works on my left hand, I cannot behold Him. So God's right there with Job. He's working on His behalf, but Job couldn't perceive it. So the wilderness, God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And that's the thing you've got to keep before you in the desert. Joseph never lost sight of the fact that God was with him. God gave him a dream, and he kept obeying God. Think about it. The more Joseph obeyed God, the worse his life became. So we have people today that they're saying, why should I obey God? I've obeyed God and my life got worse. Well, hello. Joseph goes from pit, which stands for preachers in training, to slave, to dungeon, and every bit of it's because he's obeying God. I mean, he's fleeing sexual immorality. He's obeying the word of God. It gets him in the dungeon. And then God brings the greatest test. You know what the greatest test is? So Joseph's in this dungeon, and by the way, our prisons are country clubs compared to a Middle Eastern dungeon. They're usually 4 feet high. They hurt his feet with fetters, the Bible says. So God brings the greatest test. He brings two men, the butler and baker. What's the test? Can Joseph proclaim to them the faithfulness of God when he hasn't seen a shred of evidence in his own life in 10 years? Mm-hmm. Think about it. God says you're going to be a leader. Your brothers will be under your leadership. He's gone from pit to slavery to dungeon, and he's left there to rot because you've raped the officer of the king's wife, okay?
A lie.
So if Joseph's like many who don't have the understanding of the desert, he's going to look at the butler and baker and go, you had a dream last night? I had a dream once. Dreams don't come true. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. If he would have done that, he would have died in that dungeon saying God's not faithful and he doesn't keep his promises. I don't want people to die saying God is not faithful because he is faithful. He does keep his promises, but we have to have the behavior that lines up with what he's doing in the season of our life so that we do become like Joseph and instantly in one day, he gets promoted to number two in the whole nation.
And he led the whole nation out of death.
Yes.
With a famine, with the wisdom of God. The stage is set for us to have the greatest awakening in history revealed through the body of believers.
Yes.
We are going through this wilderness so that we fit uniquely into the body. Every member fitting together, every body part appreciating the other, the hands of God work properly, the arms of God around a hurting world because we're submitted to the one redemptive head who knows what's best. This is what God wants to happen today. All we've been through is to bring us to this point of supernatural oneness as the body of Christ. John is contributing to that in the most indescribable way. I wanted to just sit and read parts of the book. It's that good. You can't put it down. The quotes you pulled in, beautiful. All the scriptures, the timing, supernatural, John. It's all of God. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to John Revere? Thanks to you, Lisa.
Thank you. Love you.
Your website is Messenger International. That's where they go.
MessengerInternational.org.
All right. MessengerInternational.org. There it is on the screen. Check out what they're doing. Help John. You know, John, we bring all these different leaders through here, all different groups. You know what we do? We lift up Jesus in them, lift them up, ask everyone to pray for them, ask our viewers, pray about supporting them. We want to be an encourager to all the members of the body of Christ. I believe that's part of building up the body. Our viewers enable us to do this. You've been to the mission field with us. You're the ones that make life today possible. You're the ones that bring all these diverse leaders into a setting of peace and harmony and love, where we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord together and encouraging one another. And then you've helped us reach out to the least of these, the overlooked, the downtrodden, the hungry, the thirsty. And you've given them water, you've given them food, you've set captives free from sexual trafficking. You've been miracle workers. Right now, in the last week of mission feeding for this point in the year, we need to hear from you. We're asking you to reach out and give food to the hungry in a miraculous way. Watch closely and please very prayerfully, God, what do you want me to do right now for the least of these in tremendous need? Please ask him as you watch.
There's a crisis in areas of South Sudan because mothers have no food for their children. Emotions run high among our mission team as these scenes of desperation play out. Isaac Pretorius is motivated more than ever to carry on the fight against starvation on the continent of Africa that his dad, Peter Pretorius, began over 40 years ago.
James, you know, you and Dad, you traveled all over this continent. And God took your heart and my dad's heart and literally knitted them together. You became the best of friends, but more than that, you became the best of servants to this continent. I can tell you this, it makes me recommit my life recommit my promise that I made to my dad that we will continue to serve our continent, that we will serve the people of this continent, that we will continue to strive for what was his dream and is mine. And that is that no child go to bed hungry. The situation here at the moment is desperate. It really is at a crisis level. We've been into villages here where mothers have told us how their children have died because they've literally starved to death. So I'm asking you, please, James, from the bottom of my heart, speak to the viewers. Ask them to do whatever it is that they can do. Appeal to them, James, because we need your help today. And I know that you know that they're the true heroes, the ones that make it possible for us to be here, the ones that make it possible for us to save lives are the true heroes. But without them, another child dies today because we didn't get there in time. Please, James, do whatever you can do, because this is about life and death.
Isaac Pretorius was talking about his dad and really us coming together more than 30 years ago. Now you see Isaac there because Peter went to be with the Lord last year. He had death-defying faith. If you haven't read that book, you ought to get it. Powerful. But Betty, we didn't know if our viewers would help feed the hungry people Peter took and showed us. We saw children die while we were standing there in that first place that you saw the two of us when I had black hair. It was a life-changing experience, because then we came to you and we said, would you help them stay? Peter said to us when we said, maybe we should come over here and just stay here and help. He said, no, please don't. Go home and ask the people to help us so we can be effective and not be empty-handed. And we didn't know if you'd help. But you've saved the lives of nearly 14 million people, according to the reports of the African countries and the missionary overseers. You did that because you didn't just turn away. You reached out in love. Betty, these people gave. There is the son of Peter Pretorius, and there, that tall, black-headed young man, that's our grandson. He was there just before his little baby girl's first birthday. But he's been several times because the mission field is on his heart. Now, listen to me. It's on God's heart. You have been miracle workers. Here's what I'm asking you to do. We need your help to feed 400,000 children right now that we have located. But now the South Sudanese crisis, the parents are being killed. The tension is horrible. Don't even want to get into all the division and dissension of that country, because a lot of it goes back to twisted religious beliefs where they're killing infidels or killing someone they disagree with. It's that awful. But we can save their lives. We've got a $270,000 need right now. Literally, the United Nations, UNICEF said to these missionary workers, they're so full of love, said, you'll go in, take this food. We don't have anyone else that can deliver it. You'll do it because of love. And our grandson said, when we prayed with them, they started crying because they could see the love. Papa, but we got to have transportation. We got to have more relief workers. We got to bring them in, and we need the help. And then, Betty, we had the terrible cyclone, hurricane, hit Mozambique and damaged the food factory. We had these emergencies come up like this. So what I'm telling you, we've been letting you know that $270,000 miracle, in addition to feeding 400,000, could come with 270 people giving $1,000. Well, we've also got the damage to the food factory. Listen, these are natural disasters that can only be addressed with love. Betty, it'd be one of the 500 people would say, we'll send 1,000. God, would you please raise them up? Somebody say, I've got it. Yes. But now please listen to me. Most of the need is met by people giving to feed 3 children, 5 children, or 10. Think about what I'm about to say. $30, $50, $100. We can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. Where could you better put that? Father, please help everyone watching to reach out and touch someone with love today, in Jesus' name. Would you get your bank card, please, and use it like a check? If you write a check, make it to Life, because you're giving life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it. Or go online or call and say, here's my gift, and put it on that card today. We have some gifts to send you to bless you in your spiritual growth and your walk. Thank you so much for giving life. Thanks for taking the time to to share because you care.
In impoverished and drought-stricken areas of Africa, children are suffering. The need is great, and without food, they face severe malnutrition, even death. With previous reserves gone and mission feeding helping in areas of great famine, we urgently need your support to replenish food supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Please consider an extra gift to help ease the suffering of innocent families who, due to tribal warfare, have had to flee their homes in South Sudan to neighboring Uganda in desperate search of food. World Food representatives have asked for our immediate assistance. That's why an additional $270,000 is urgently needed to help provide food to those who are starving. With your gift, we'll send you the James Code by O.S. Hawkins. You'll also enjoy this beautifully crafted leather bookmark. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Passion Translation Bible. This edition ignites the passion of the Bible to modern readers by merging the passion of God's heart with the life-changing truth of His Word. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I really do want to say thanks to God for you. Thanks for John Bevere and Lisa. Boy, they've been a blessing. They really are like family to us. John, y'all have been a real blessing to what we're doing. You've been there. You and Lisa have been there. Does their love work when it hits the fields?
The family that you work with, Isak and Peter, who's in heaven, are one of the most remarkable families I've ever met. And I've known them for years now because you introduced me. And we want to help on this, so we want to join in with this fight. And so Messenger International is going to join as well.
Please know we appreciate your help this last week. If you'd like to have John's book, God, Where Are You? And you know you're in the wilderness, and he's there with purpose. So you just ask for it. We'll be glad to send it to you along with the other materials that we've told you about. We really do appreciate your help. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to John Bevere for being a blessing. Thank you so much for watching. You get fired up.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Victoria Osteen joins Sheila Walsh to encourage you to view life's challenges differently and embrace the exceptional you. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.